pledge?
Sure. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, yeah. Motion for the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the May 30th minutes.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Everybody here but Chris. All right. So today we wanted to get right to it. I know Kevin's only got about an hour, and this was the first meeting. We were going to kind of dive into some of the take-home vehicles and titles themselves, ask some questions. We have a template policy that the executive provided us. They used some of the good stuff. I think we could probably cut some more out of stuff that was in the Charlie Busick policy, that calculator, if that made it over. I don't know if that's too realistic to be using. But they did give us a great number that's in, and it's a similar number to what's in a lot of different policies like this in municipalities. As Herb has told us, DOT, the state, has kind of taken on this same conversation years ago, and they ended up doing away with a lot of take-home vehicles and coming up with policies and procedures that I think made a lot of sense, saved money, and that's what I think we're looking to do here. There will obviously be take-home vehicles, but perhaps we have too many. I know some of us were alarmed to find out we have three times as many as Dutchess County, so that's what we're going to do today. In that policy that I referenced a minute ago, it did mention, I believe, as a standard, 12 a quarter and 48 emergency call-outs per year per that position to justify the possession of a take-home vehicle. When we did get the numbers that we did, I think Deputy Executive LaValle gave us the majority of what we had asked for a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things was how many the documented call-outs that were tracked, and it turns out that not one person in DPW actually ended up coming even within 10 emergency call-outs to hit that mark. So that's what we're doing today, and we kind of figured we'd just start at the top and go through each vehicle and have a conversation and ask some questions, and be great if we ever came to a consensus on what to do, you know, that we all agreed, all branches of government agreed, that'd be an easy thing to get past. So let's jump in. Did anyone have any questions before we start?
Joe, when you were talking about the 48 emergency call-outs a year, where did that number come from?
That is what's in the template policy that the executive provided us. Mm-hmm. And I believe, was that the number in the
Busick
policy? That was the Busick policy number that former Chair Bartels and the executive branch of government had came up, well, that may have been pre-executive, but that was what former Chair Bartels years ago had come up with her colleagues as a number, and they explored quite a bit of policies in other municipalities, and I think that's even less than one a week, a call out a week, and less than four a month, so it seems a reasonable number.
Now, is the executive staff office happy with that number, or they gave it to
that's
us?
That's what they gave us, and I think in the first meeting I referenced it, I thought there was comfort on their side of it. But
is that still accurate?
So, I think just two comments to that. One is that we're certainly willing to look at numbers of call-outs as kind of a good metric for gauging the vehicle. However, it's our understanding that 48 call-outs did kind of somewhere around 2013, around Councilor Auerbach's
So there wasn't any amendment made to the resolution to reflect that the policy was being changed?
So this goes back to just a, I will just state it, so don't shoot the messenger,
no.
But there's a, you know, a feeling that the Charlie Busick policy, as it was passed, was pre-charter. As it evolved into a procedure, it was changed.
To what? Change meaning ignored or change meaning something else?
Change meaning not meaning ignored. Change meaning that there are certain conditions that did, it went from approval by the executive to approval by the fleet manager or chair, commissioner of DPW or designee. The number of call outs was removed from in edited versions of the subsequent procedure.
So any standard for having a take-home, what was the standard for getting a take-home vehicle?
I don't think I can speak to that because that speaks to some of the intent of the changes. So I don't feel like I can speak.
Were those changes ever put in writing?
Yes.
Were we provided with those?
The SOP manual has been, on the intranet, there's an SOP manual that covers a wide variety of county operations. It includes a procedure on take-home vehicles, and that has been changed through time, from the time of the, basically when the charter went through around the
go ahead,
time with Charlie Busick.
Whatever, yeah,
so. So I just wanted to clarify, so after the 48 number for take-home, for call-outs, was no longer used. There was not a new number specified. It just
no.
Go ahead, Herb.
So as time went on, we changed our type of government, and we came up with a SOP. The executive came up with an SOP policy on vehicles.
I think the best way to have a glimpse into that, and really my only way of understanding that is reading the 2013 audit and the response mm-hmm. from the executive's office. I think that very clearly lays out exactly what they felt.
And that was an audit of what?
County use of take-home vehicles.
So is that an audit of the policy at that time?
Basically, did the audit basically show that we weren't following the Busick policy, and then there was responses back explaining that, well, we're not because it's pre-charter and it doesn't apply to us anymore, and this is how we do things now. You know, so, I mean, it's not...
I take a lot of the response to be in line with that.
So we don't... Yeah, I mean, somewhere along the way... Whether we want to differentiate the words we use, whether it's ignore or cease to follow or changed, somewhere along the way after the charter, we no longer had a standard for having a take-home vehicle other than, well, it doesn't really sound like we had one. And that's fine. There's no one in this room that had much to do with that, and it just kind of happened. So that, and that's one of the reasons we're here, to come up with another policy. Like I said, there's a purchasing aspect of this, which is how we go about purchasing the vehicles, what the resolution is going to look like, a standard there, and then the other half is the take-home policy. Who's going to have take-home vehicles, and whomever has a take-home vehicle, what is the oversight that we're going to codify and make sure that we check into how we you know, provide oversight to make sure these vehicles are continuing to be used the way that we intended them to be used, and that's why we're here. So it's no, but we do, and we need to be here. It sounds like, Kev.
I'd like to one follow up on that, Amanda. Currently, in 2013 or so, we did change it from 48 a year to okay, you need a car, take it home, and somebody signed off on that. For each of these individual employees, do we have that documentation, paperwork? Is there anything in writing that says this is why you're getting a vehicle, or
believe it's a,
it's a take-home form.
There's a form that's submitted, a take-home form.
And we can get our hands on those?
That's also on the...
How many pages is that?
The form is one page.
So it, there's not a lot of, oh, here it is right here. Employee name, address, the make and model. Has primary responsibility for responding to emergencies which require immediate response to protect life or property. Cannot use alternative forms of transportation to respond to emergencies. And cannot pick up county-owned assigned vehicles or designated sites without impacting the employee's ability to respond to emergencies. And then that's it. So it's not real hardy.
And that's if you, the proposed procedure that we shared with you has a different form that has, you know, would be resubmitted annually, also is consistent with the categorization that the IRS uses to track them, so it would allow us across both fleet management and the finance department to better track.
Chair Maloney?
Yep, go ahead.
Controller.
March, go ahead.
Yeah, there's also a weekly mileage report in the SOP spreadsheet for take-home vehicles, so I don't know whether those are being collected, but...
And that's another place where we have different technology now. There are cards.
Do you want that
too? Can you print this out for me?
Do you want to take the cards?
Print out what?
We have that.
We fill
them out every week.
So you could... answering the minority leader's question about whether or not there's data being collected on individual trips, there is data being collected on individual trips at DPW for take-home vehicles.
And how often is that reviewed, and is it put into a spreadsheet? And
that's put into an old system. That's the HTU. Yeah, the old HTU system. They still put it in there. It's just very hard, and it needs to be updated. It's like an old DOS system. It's black and green. And it's very difficult sometimes to get information out of it.
Aren't they, a lot of the information they're putting in, information that we would be able to just take away from Samsara, or Samsara, what's it called?
Samsara. Yeah.
So we, it's almost like they wouldn't
even... We can
even
always check against Samsara when they say they come out and stuff like that. It'll tell us exactly where they are. Which Samsara, we just really honestly, really...
Just got it.
We just got it.
And what was the other one? WEX or no?
WEX is the gas cards.
And what's what was the other... March, did you have a question before we go? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say,
oh,
I
that,
will
okay,
send
you told
the
us.
Audit
okay.
around to you and the legislative staff so they can share it to the
okay.
committee if you don't have it already.
It was already.
2013. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
we,
one's been shared.
That's in the OneDrive. Anyone that wants it, it's there. The GPS system, there was an older GPS system that is still in the vehicles?
For a highway or?
DPW.
DPW was NICOMCO at it, and it was horrible. It was always pinging like at 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you really weren't getting the information that you're getting.
And that's
now.
Still, we haven't removed, it's still in the vehicles, it's just
no,
dormant?
No, it's been taken
They've
out.
They've taken it out?
I'm
okay.
pretty sure they took them out. Because they changed the whole radio system again recently.
Yeah.
I was just surprised to hear the county was using a DOS system, I mean, when did the private sector stop using a DOS system?
March, I think, didn't we find that BERT had a lot of financial stuff going on still in, the, you know?
Real property, we just moved the real property delinquent tax system off of the DOS system. I mean, we just have these legacy systems that it's very expensive and onerous to update them, and if they're not, if it's not imperative, then it may not be moved off, you know?
Is
until
it
the
more
time.
Accurate to call it a command line versus a DOS? I think that's the, like, it still is like a green,
it's black.
It's running on an old IBM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not, it is not DOS.
Yeah, I mean, so that's like 20, 30-year-old
Oh, maybe
technology.
More than
yes.
that.
Yes.
What is Tyler Technologies doing?
We just run our nuclear silos, nuclear missile silos on floppy disks. So.
I think we've probably had some
that's
things on floppy disks up until recently here. They're trying to stay all
can't
the way.
Especially because you can't even buy them anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Any more discussion or questions? No. All right, so let's go right to the top of the list, which is that we have documented call-outs for. At the very end of the meeting, we'll quickly discuss the DA and the sheriff and some of the lack of information and data that we're getting. But we did get enough from the execs. So we have Deputy Commissioner of Buildings and Grounds, and he has a 2023 Ram 1500. He commutes 10 miles one way, and he had two documented call-outs in 2023. So what we're here to find out today is why would we not make a recommendation for that take-home vehicle to go away. Every standard we've ever had and every standard we look at passing going into the future screams that this would not be an approved take-home vehicle.
Okay, so he's a deputy commissioner. Buildings and grounds.
And the commissioner does not have one.
Commissioner doesn't have one.
And he reports to work here every day?
Is he have, he's in the building out in front of the quarry?
Yes.
All right. Do we want to move to the next one? Hearing, no, I mean, what, Kevin? What
you know, I don't know what to say. What are we going to give him, like, thumbs up, thumbs down, or?
Yeah,
I don't know if we're going to vote right now. We were here today. Over the next month or so, we're going to be taking a vote of the members of this committee to decide whether part of the recommendation or part of the policy, the passing of the policy, actually may have, we could build that into the policy that these vehicles here do not remain take-home vehicles. But I don't necessarily want to take that vote today. We were looking today, and Herb's been a big proponent of this, getting the department heads in, one department, one office at a time, and going through each take-home vehicle, getting their, you know, getting their feedback, giving them a chance to either agree with us and say, you know what, I think this is something that should probably go, or giving us their reasons why they think it should stay, and then we ultimately go and vote. So I don't think we're looking for a thumbs up or thumbs down right now. And if we don't get any feedback on something, that's something that we'll document and mark when we go to vote in the next month or two. Eric.
So just out of curiosity, so if we start removing these vehicles from some of these positions, which I assume we're going to do, what happens to those vehicles?
Many of the vehicles, Herb, go ahead. Many of the vehicles, and we're short from what I'm hearing, on the day-to-day use vehicles that the men and women come and report to work, and then they jump in vehicles and they're the ones driving around doing all the road work and the capital projects and build and maintenance on all the different county properties that are all over the county. So those vehicles, most of them would not be sold. They would actually be put into the existing fleet to be used during the day.
Pool car.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pool car.
Yeah.
Which is a good use of it.
Well, especially for vehicles that are, you know, 1 year old.
Yeah, and we could replace some of the, you go and get rid of...
You get rid of the ones from 2013. And
yeah, the old pool cars, and you replace those with some of these take-home vehicles that are no longer take-home vehicles.
Okay.
So...
And then the old ones that from 2013 and 2015, then we just sell those, or what happens?
There's an auction.
Go out to auction.
Yeah.
They just go to auction.
Yep.
By auction.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, we purchase 20 or 30 cars a year, so I'm sure that we can find a use for these without auctioning them off, unless we're replacing the old ones.
Herb has been pretty adamant that he believes most of these vehicles are going to end up becoming pool vehicles, and I don't think he's necessarily wrong. The next one is a maintenance and construction position. 2023 Ram 1500. There was 12 call-outs for the year, so once a month. And I know we do have I believe we do have plumbers and electricians in buildings and grounds that do on occasion get called out, and they either report to the call out in their own vehicle, or they report and grab a pool vehicle. So that's one of the only buildings and grounds really only has two take home vehicles, and they have a lot of individuals, some of which may report. There's even people on the highway side that at times report to emergency calls that do not have take home vehicles. Eric?
I just have a quick question regarding bridge crew leader Babcock, who travels 31 miles each way.
Mm.
I assume, is that within the county? Does he live?
I think there's three or four people in DPW that do live out of county.
He lives in county.
Okay. He just lives in a further part away. There is three or four people, and that is something that we're going to get to probably the next meeting. There's a list of six or seven things that we have to decide whether we want them. We want those topics into our policy. There used to be a county policy that said that if you had a take-home vehicle and you lived out of county, you would leave it. Even sheriff's deputies that have, pursuit vehicles, if they live out of county, they would leave their vehicle at the closest substation. And we do have a lot of these substations, sheriff's department and DPW substations all around the county, especially a couple of them in the northern and southern parts of the county. So individuals that are driving out of county with their take-home vehicles would actually leave them there, park there in the morning with their own car. Yep.
And I would just clarify that it was a change in time. Overtime to the procedure that was on the books, the take-home vehicle procedure.
Yep.
And I just wanted to note that Mr. Baker, or Ms. Baker, I'm not sure.
Mr.
I would assume it was Mr. Baker's traveling 40 miles, almost 41 miles a day. So again, that's
17,000 miles a year. That's an estimate. And that's for four call-outs. But let's go in order. Do we have... Maybe we don't, because the first two we haven't heard anything back. Is there a position or positions that we are going to hear feedback on that you would like to see, that you would like to give us reasons for? Okay, how about you do that? We'll start at the top and you tell us, and then we'll have a good conversation and hear you out.
Can I jump around it?
Absolutely.
Where specific people are? So, the lead mechanics, the road mechanics, just so everybody's aware, I know they have these 2020 International trucks. One thing with the mechanics is every item on that truck is a personal tool. The county has it that in order to work as a mechanic for the county, you must bring in your own tools. So, and a lot of times they do, on their way in, do fix stuff that are on the road. But everything that's on there belongs to them. We don't supply them. The county does not supply their tools. So that's one thing I wanted to have everybody understand. They do have to bring in. Even the mechanics that work in the shop where I am have to bring in their own personal tools.
So that would be the two road mechanics and the lead...
And the tire.
Where's the
tire changer?
We have two leads.
Goodrich.
Second from the bottom.
Two roads, and then the senior tire changer.
Jameson.
Now the tire changer doesn't he have a specific truck, like a tire changing truck? But he did also have a separate take home vehicle that he was taking home.
I know, and his vehicle was also down for a while.
Yeah. So he would actually, if he had to fix a big tire fix on a plow in the middle of winter, he would actually have to take his take-home vehicle back to the quarry to pick up the vehicle he actually needs to do his job, correct?
Right, but now he has his truck back.
The tire
truck.
So
he's not just doing highways.
But what vehicle was he taking?
He did have a pickup truck at one time, but his truck also was down in Arkell.
What his personal truck or his?
No, the county.
The tire truck. So why would, this is my question, why would the individual that needs a specific tire truck ever have had a take-home vehicle when he had to drive it to pick up the...
Because he still had the police car's tires in that truck, too, with the jacks. Because he just doesn't do highways. He also does the rest of the county. He has 22 different departments.
But why did he need a take-home... But there was two vehicles
because
he was driving.
Because he gets called out, say the sheriff's got a flag.
Yeah.
He's going to come out, even though he didn't have the tire truck, he's still coming out with that pickup truck to change the tire.
But he's only come out six times last year.
Right.
And some of them he actually needed to go back and get the other tire truck.
But that
recently,
was now.
No, prior, yes.
It was. Mm. It's 33. It's hard to follow the line of cost, but he actually comes out very frequently.
Where is he? First?
It says six.
It says six, yeah. Yeah. 33 six. Is the section supervisor.
Okay, so sorry, I'm...
But he is coming. He's coming out more now.
In 2024.
Yeah. Because since the whole thing is Central Auto has moved. We're not on 125 Maxwell Lane anymore. We've merged with the highway, and with not having as many as mechanics that we don't have, we've kind of merged a lot of the stuff together. So now, Howard, who is the tire guy, he was just strictly doing highway tires. Now he's doing the rest of the county.
Who was doing the rest of the county before?
Central Auto was doing it before mechanics, because we had our own tire.
So we've eliminated mechanic positions?
No, we didn't eliminate any mechanic position. It's just that the fleet has grown over the years, and it's gotten, we go through a lot of tires at times. Especially, it depends on the seasons, too. But he's now doing everybody else's tires besides the highway as well.
So he can do anything from a large snowplow...
From a loaded tire to down to a Toyota Prius.
So these, I would take the tire changing truck and the lead mechanic. Those vehicles are probably kind of awkward. Meaning big, large, bulky,
mm-hmm.
a lot of tools on it. I don't see them guys getting up and saying, I'm going to take my tire truck down to the deli and get a cup of coffee or do my shopping or whatever, or run into town. But does somebody else, say a senior deputy commissioner, and I'm not picking on him, is he allowed to take his vehicle, use it other than emergencies or take home? Can he run out in the middle of the day and pick up the laundry or whatever?
No, he shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be. Okay.
And he, so... So the lead mechanics... 6, 7, and then 3, 7, and 6 are the numbers. So I guess... The decision we have to make is, in 2023, the size of the fleet, I mean, we're only a couple of months away from 2023. So I would say, even if you're telling us the numbers are up a hair, I think this is pretty good, these are going to be pretty accurate numbers to go off of. So the question I'm asking is, at 7, 6, 7, 3, and 6, five individuals collectively that all have take-home vehicles, how do we decide which one of them gets called?
We did by sections. Just like the road, the section supervisors, everything is by a section, from section 1 to 4.
So the question is, and okay, and so he
sections are determined geographically, or yes, okay, thank you.
Yeah,
and it helps to have
on this sheet here.
People coincidentally living in different parts of the county, which is nice.
Yeah.
The senior tire changer has a take-home vehicle, mm-hmm. and he does have a take-home vehicle now, again, or he doesn't.
No.
He did have one.
At one point he has a tire truck.
He takes the tire truck home. Okay. Now
plus
the two
his personal tools along that fire department.
Yes. Now the mechanics, the lead mechanics, so that is, so the 2011 Chevrolet 2500 is the tire truck?
No, it's a international. It's the same thing, the CB5.
So what is this 2011 Chevrolet?
That is the wrong truck.
Is anything else wrong on here as far as what people drive home?
I mean, that's, I think.
So the 2011 Chevy 2500 was his vehicle he was using because his international was down.
I don't kill me.
So now is the international back up and running?
Yes.
Okay, and so let's take that Chevrolet
out
of
the box.
Well,
where is this Chevrolet? Did we get rid of it, or is that?
No, it's back in the pool. It's a pool vehicle.
Okay.
Do we have a spare tire change in truck in case
no.
that one breaks down? So what do we do in that case?
That's when we get a pickup and we put stuff.
We figure it out.
Right.
And
we want to figure it out.
Do we ever call a third party road service?
We try not to because we just got a new tow truck. So.
Does that take home too?
No.
When he's on vacation, what do we do?
Do they leave the vehicle at the shop?
I've heard that some of these, a lot of these vehicles sit in the driveway on vacation.
No, when they're on vacation, it just sits in their driveway. And it's also because they're personal tools. You know, the county's not covering it with insurance either. So it would be like if somebody took this truck, all their tools are gone. They purchase these tools, we don't.
So for six calls a year, so he doesn't have to drive to the quarry and grab the truck and load some tools, we provide him, and another consequence is we go without the truck basically during, well, first of all, I think if, I don't know how to, it becomes a logistical problem because now somebody's going to have to follow him to work to leave the truck. But it does seem crazy to 3 or 4 weeks a year, depending on how much vacation and sick time and that he uses, that basically a month a year our tire truck sits unusable by the county so that he has a little convenience. For
he's
six.
The only tire changer we have,
mm-hmm.
basically. Right.
Who changes the tires when he's not there?
Well, we
one
have other people that'll change it, but they also, all of them end up going out on the road with these trucks too. It's not, I understand they're getting called out. They're only showing certain call outs, but sometimes on the way into work, they're stopping and changing tires on the side of the road. They're doing that too. Or they're loading up in the morning and they're going straight down to, say, Accord if the loaded tire is flat. They'll run right down there.
Yeah, that's on regular time, though, and that'd be able to be done anyways, even if the truck was sitting there in the quarry waiting for him to get to work.
Right, but if they were on the side of the road, same thing with sheriff vehicle.
If he only drives 8 miles from
it'd be a pretty
work.
Big coincidence for him to drive by a flat tire, county tire on his way to work, but if it happened once in a year.
I mean, these internationals, the large trucks,
mm-hmm.
and they're loaded with personal you know, equipment that they purchase themselves. I mean, we're spending a lot of time on anomalies instead of
okay.
getting to the meat of the situation.
Okay, so
if these four trucks were the only thing that we were going to dive into, I mean...
Good point. So what are there any other, were those the main points you wanted to make and are valid and something that we got to consider?
Those were the main ones that I was looking at.
And I don't want to pick on these guys, but how much tools do they have? Can you carry it in a toolbox, or is like it's like a compressor
tools.
Maybe?
They have compressors on there. They have torches on there.
Welding
they
equipment.
They have
thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars.
And we make them all
have
the
their own personal
that's
equipment.
All they
go
own
out and buy themselves.
The compressors and
that,
the torches and
that's the nature of the business.
Yeah.
Even when you go to your auto mechanic that has four or five guys working there, they bring their own tools
They don't bring the lifts and the heavy duty. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Herb.
No, we pay for specialty items like scanners and stuff like that.
Even your run-of-the-mill guy like Jerry Erickson down there. Each one of his mechanics, those toolboxes in their station belong to them.
That's the point.
And all the equipment.
No, that's a pretty heavy, expensive equipment that we're making. I'm just curious. Does any county, every county, that's the way they do it? Every county has.
If he quits and leaves his job, all that equipment goes anyway.
Require them.
Yeah, but when I say toolbox, the toolbox costs $10,000.
Oh yeah, those big wrenches.
Not counting the equipment that's in it.
And the wrenches themselves, some of them are $100 or more a piece.
Yeah.
Are for the both road mechanics and the lead mechanic. You said that they all have the tools in the vehicle.
Right.
I'm just seeing. Is this just an oversight for the spreadsheet that? One of the mechanics that's not listed that has personal tools on the truck.
Yeah, it's just it was a typo because I was trying to put when we did it, we just forgot to put as personal tools because they're required when they start working here.
And the other employee, the other lead mechanic, employee Crickon, are they not listed with an area of responsibility on the printout that was given to us here?
He's the main thing still.
Comes with that.
Okay.
They all have sections. They didn't
land that. Right, okay. Okay, so he's king. And then the other lead mechanic has New Paul's Platypus Sean Gunn. Okay.
Right, that's on the second page. And it's kind of the first and second page. Shows the additional.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And with the lead mechanic, the first lead mechanic that appears, he does not have an international.
No.
Oh, he does not.
So he would not have all those other tools that we're talking about.
No, he has his own in the garage. He does. This one is a different one than the ones that I was talking about that are on this list.
So to leave.
But he doesn't load up all the. He doesn't have some of the compressors and some of those. So he's just got a regular take-home vehicle. And then if he needs, what does he do if he needs the heavy-duty equipment? He borrows the other lead mechanics?
No, he'll come back to the shop.
We have another truck that's got all that stuff on it?
It's 148, yeah.
And it's got all those tools, and the county owns those tools?
No.
Whose tools are they on that truck?
They're a mishmash of some of his stuff.
That he keeps on a different truck that he doesn't take home.
Right.
So every time he makes, so he's made the most calls, seven. That's 7-6, 7-3, tied for the most. And he has a regular take-home vehicle and then goes and gets a big county vehicle with a mixture of his own tools that he leaves at the quarry. So how do we explain that take-home vehicle? And if he can do that, why can't the other guy do that?
Because
he responds to even more of the calls.
May I ask about the purchase date of that vehicle? It says 2026.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Where do you see 2026?
On the lead mechanic, Crick Hands.
Yep.
Purchase date, it's a 2019 vehicle, but it says the purchase date is 2026.
Probably 2019.
Yeah.
The price tag.
So there's a few purchase dates that don't make sense here. I mean, the same is true actually for Deputy Commissioner Maneri's vehicle. It says 2021, but it's a 2023 Ram.
Mm.
Is that, are we planning on a new vehicle at that point, or is that just a...
It probably is a typo.
It's a typo.
It's a typo.
It's a typo.
So back to that question. Why isn't there equity with regards to those two positions? They seem to be the same exact position. They seem to be more or less performing the same duty, and they seem to have the same personal tools. One drives to the quarry, picks up a truck, and goes and does his job more often than the other individual that drives the truck back and forth home. A $144,000 truck that we then lose for a month a year with sick and vacation time.
I think we have to go back and look at exactly when and how kind of how they got the take-homes. You know, I'm seeing here that one, the date of take-home is 2019. 2008, the other one is 2018. We have to kind of unpack the practice there of how we got there.
Well, it's approved by the fleet manager and the SOP, what was it, in the new policy?
So the dates,
so what did happen?
I interpret them like 1/1/2008. To me, that indicates like a pre-existing take-home vehicle before the change in the when the executive came in, or that was 2019, or a typo.
Well, it's not a typo that they have, that there's a different process for each of them, though.
Maybe that's my Busick one. We have to unpack it as far as exactly how that is impacted.
How do we decide the vehicle number over here? Is there a method to that? Is there, it doesn't seem like
sequential.
I mean, is there a.
Section supervisors are 102 to 107.
Okay, so it's.
And then. The other pickups go in line with that.
In what way?
Well, for the road mechanics, it's 130, 131, and 132. Those were the newer numbers.
Okay, so I had a question. As far as these call outs go, what are the different ways a call can come in? Where do calls come in? I know Bob Wells handles most of the calls. Is it all through 911? Is there other ways to call in and end up getting a call out? Whether it's a downed branch or tree on a county road to go take a quick look, how do the calls come in other than 911?
They call directly, which then forwards to Robert Wells.
Who would call directly?
It could be somebody that lives down the block and a tree falls down. They'll call 340-3137 and it goes right to Robert Wells.
And 34, oh, that, but where would they find that number?
It's in the book. That little small directory book.
Does it appear anywhere else?
On the website.
Do we know? Let's check. Let's see if it's on there.
Or it might be 340-3130. I think that's the other number.
And that goes directly to Bob Wells?
When it's after hours.
After hours phone.
That's the quarry dispatch.
They have a dispatch and then he's
3131
is on
Robert. 3102.
Does that go to that? Do we know if that? What's the number that we know goes to Bob's cell phone?
3130 or 3137.
Is that an extension or? It's
340 would be.
340. What is it?
3137.
And does that number appear anywhere?
3131.
That's what's on the website? 3131's on the website?
Yes. And during the day, 3131 goes to the dispatcher, and after hours,
in the quarry. In the quarry.
And then it gets forwarded to.
The majority go through 911?
There you go.
It depends.
Their homepage.
Do we crunch those numbers? Do we know?
I don't know. I just know where the calls go to.
Okay.
I mean, you can find them if you have a county book, but trying to look it up online is really tricky. I called in, and I could have sworn they were county vehicles with county logos. It was, and it was Callanan's. But I had to just go through the general phone number because I couldn't find. There's no flaggers on the road. It was awesome.
We need a centralized calling unit.
No.
Yeah. So
actually, have a log of every from. Maybe 21 or 22 of the number of calls received by every extension in the county. So I didn't look at that one.
Because I would assume 99% of the calls, I mean, if you see a tree, a hazardous thing, you're calling 911. If 10 or 15% of the calls that are coming into us are going through this number, that would concern me, to be honest with you. But
Chair, I'm kind of floundering here. here with, you know, we have a lot of information and we're getting some answers, but how are we going to put this into a report? Where are we going? Are we making recommendations on the new language for amendments to the Busick law? I tried looking up an SOP. I couldn't find a standard operating procedure for...
I don't think it's online, know, is it, Amanda?
It's not
it was,
online.
It was an inter...
Intranet.
Oh, intranet, so we wouldn't have access to it anyway.
We're not really employees.
Yeah.
We're not treated as such.
I mean, aren't we charged with the duty to come up with the new policy?
Yes.
That we will present
we are
to,
going to
the legislature
yes.
for vote.
And then it'll go to laws and rules and whatever Vicky decides.
DPW?
Yeah, whatever Vicky decides. And at that point, there could be minor amendments made or it may pass. I mean, there's seven of us on it. It's a pretty bipartisan committee with, you know, strong voices in both caucuses, so we'll see when we get to that point. But the first thing we got to do with regards to these take-home vehicles is get the information so we can eventually have our up or down vote, and that's going to be a big part of our recommendations. And like I said, it could be built into the policy, whether that part got amended out or not, but we could build it in where it kind of happens automatically at the passing of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else? And I do appreciate the executive branch of government has been far more cooperative than the DA and the sheriff, unfortunately, at this point, getting us. It's not easy to sit here. Most of you were not even here when all these different policies were going. So it's not. It's just something I think we can get right and get better and get a new policy going. And nobody has to look bad. Is there anything else as far as any other things that the executive branch of government wants to point out or the comptroller wants to point out as we consider, as this committee considers our up or down votes?
We've had some initial internal discussions of comparing with the model of the New York State DOT call-out system with the on-call vehicle. We need to do some further talking around that. However, we're concerned that the model where DOT has two shifts, two regular shifts, and the county doesn't, and also with our kind of geographic having highway sections, the section supervisors and kind of the call out procedure for those may not be like a one, may not be able to map that to like a DOT model, but we're still talking about that.
You probably can, because you have to drill down into the way the DOT maintenance is set up. They have maintenance residencies, and residencies carry an area. Like, for instance, the Kingston residency covers all of Ulster County, so it's very similar to what you're looking at. You know, you have Northern Dutchess, you have Southern Dutchess, you have Putnam, Northern Westchester. Columbia County has its own. So if you drill down, there is a likeness between a DOT residency and the Ulster County DPW.
But we want to think through it. Like, within the last 2 weeks, we've had several sets of call-outs around wind damage and trees on roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they're in Shandaken, do you really want the person who's on call for that week to be home with the truck in, you know, Plaza? You know, how
right.
how are we serving and, you know, trying to be responsive
but,
to something?
But the DOT has a sub-residency in Maple Hill. And if something in Shandaken came down, that's the local sub-residency, which is very similar to your different sections.
Yeah, and I don't know then if they don't have, you know, this is the level that we have to go through this. If they don't, then it was my understanding with the state system, then the person who has some on-call pay, right, takes the vehicle home for that week or whatever the period of time is, and then if there's an issue, they have to then be called out.
Right.
So again, if then maybe the person who's closest to the Shandaken substation doesn't have the on-call, you know, doesn't have a take-home and doesn't have on-call pay, can you then reasonably expect to have coverage for that area when they don't have the vehicle and they're also not kind of, they don't have the on-call?
But you would have a section foreman
who would or wouldn't have a take-home vehicle.
If he's on call. See, with the state system, the HMS 2s are on call 24/7. And then the next step down is HMS 1s. The HMS 1s leave their vehicle at the residency. So if a call comes in, it goes to the HMS, or excuse me, yeah, the HMS 1 of an area. And then he would call in HMS, excuse me, HMS 2s. He would call in HMS 1s to deal with the emergency, but they would have to go to their substation to pick up their vehicle.
March.
Yeah, and then there's another layer to that, so.
I don't know if it's helpful to know this, but in 2021, that phone line got 4,500 calls.
Yeah.
At 3131. That highway dispatch number is a very active number.
But it doesn't reflect that on a number of calls going out.
Well, we know
these
that
are calls coming in.
No, I mean,
it's
yes.
A highway guy.
No, no,
going
no.
To emergency.
I was just. Asking before if that number was known around the county, apparently is, and they're calling that number for a lot of different reasons.
All hours.
Yeah.
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 Deer on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty active number.
And then the other piece here, which is again, I'm not sharing this to be the roadblock, but just rather to like speak to the complexity of where we've gotten to here, that there's a whole history regarding take-home vehicle in lieu of on-call pay, other pay, that is, you know, where we get into the past practice as far as, you know, how we got to that particular this current list.
You know, we could come up with, you know, who gets a vehicle or nobody gets a vehicle according to the 48, maybe one person, but is there any guidance other than what we talked about, like, you know, well, Shandaken is not going to have coverage. Is it possible that, you know, and I don't see giving somebody a bonus because they live 30 miles away. Why should they get treated better than the guy who just happens to live 2 miles away?
Mm.
You know, is that fair? But can you, with your internal numbers, come up with something that says, hey, this guy needs a take-home vehicle, you know, in Shandaken, or because it's a wide section, it's bigger than, say, Plattekill and Shongo. You know, is that possible for you guys to help us out, Penny?
Take it back and talk to Lyle. Field operations manager is just currently out this week.
We got time, right?
But that would be a good person to just kind of talk through exactly what you're talking about as far as what could be another model. But again, I just, Herb, you were just out for a second, but I just want to say that there's also a whole history regarding there's on-call pay versus call-out pay versus a take-home vehicle,
yep.
Which is really complicates the past practice as far as who got vehicles when and why.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But there's been nothing provided as far as union negotiations, minutes, emails, or anything past practice-wise.
So,
there's no documentation. It's hard to say past practice. And even if you do, legally, the people I'm talking to don't think there's much there. But without a lot of documentation that way. But if you can't provide documentation as far as, first of all, the trucks, there's no equity to the trucks. There's no consistency around people in the highway department. It's not like everyone that has a call out even has a take-home vehicle. There's no consistency with the vehicles they have. There's nothing in the past that proves it's ever been mentioned in a union negotiation. And they're not being used. And we had a policy on the books that with no documentation, we stopped. I mean, there's probably legal ramifications if a citizen wanted to file an Article 78 and take us to court and say, and make us take these vehicles away, because there was a policy on the book. Whether or not we're hearing now that people way back when said, well, it was made pre-charter, so we're not going to follow it anymore. Now we're going to have an internal policy that was never codified, that wasn't even available until recently, that doesn't even have a lot on it, and we're talking about past practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just
two
nothing there for past practice.
There. And again, I will direct you to the response to the 2013 comptroller's audit, because I think that fairly states, you know, exactly what the rationale was there. But I believe Mr. Farina has...
Yeah, I just want to point out... a lot of these take-home vehicles are taken home by union members. And there is a past practice. PERB would uphold that there is a past practice that they are provided vehicles. You want to take away the vehicles, it's probably well within your rights to do so. But you will be obligated to negotiate the impact of that decision with the various unions. So you'll have to negotiate with them the on-call status, the mileage, whatever else that they feel that they were being compensated by having the vehicle, and now having the vehicle taken away.
That would be something. We wouldn't have to do anything unless a court mandated
us to. No, you would have to, because you're changing a term and condition of employment. They would demand to negotiate the impact of that decision, and under PERB's rules, under the Taylor Law, you are required by law to negotiate the terms and conditions of employment and the impact when you change those.
Well, we have a record of what we say the impact is, and it's not much, and I'd be happy. I want everyone to get a raise, though. It is interesting that the only people, the union members that have take-home vehicles just got a $7 raise, and the ones that don't on the building and maintenance side didn't get that $7 raise, even though we all know how confusing.
That's your argument, and
that's fine. Hold on. So there, we're probably, and I'm telling you right now, there's probably room for those individuals that had similar positions, that didn't have take-home vehicles, that had emergency calls, that didn't get a $7 raise. Man, oh man, is there an argument there? I don't know if it's something that they'd be willing to take to court. But as far as retro or getting made whole, especially when we combine DPW, and I've seen those resolutions from years ago when there was no highway department anymore and public works became public works, but we never treated financially the people that came over into public works the same way, and we continue to separate them out even though there's a lot of discussion around maybe it not being totally legal the way some of these things are written. So that's all things we can deal with. But I would love to get to the point where we're talking about giving these individuals even a couple more dollars, because I think even the men and women that got the $7 raise are still underpaid. So that's something that I would be happy to talk about if all our lawyers agreed, from the county attorney side to the union lawyers to our legislative attorneys. If they all agreed, then yes, that is going to be part of the discussion. But it doesn't really need to be at this point, because like you said, it's doable.
Okay.
So.
I just want to point out, as I said to you in a previous meeting, when you talked about the difference between buildings and grounds and DPW, it was a negotiated agreement. That agreement was very clear and very specific that $5.70 an hour increase was to be applied to the DPW salary schedule. Buildings and grounds employees, although part of the DPW department, are not on the DPW side.
I don't want to relitigate this if it was anything but clear, I can tell you that. And our legislative attorney, who's a pretty impressive guy, Chris Ragucci, agreed that it's something that would probably have to play out in court if they wanted to push it because of how unclear it was. And I'm not a lawyer, and you're not a lawyer, but Chris Ragucci is a lawyer, and he said it was very, very murky. But that's neither here nor there, and we're here to talk about take-home vehicles and a vehicle policy.
If it's a point of a loss, first of all, it's not in the union contract. If it clearly said the senior tire changer always has a vehicle, regardless of whether he's 2 miles away or 40 miles away, that would be different.
I know.
And if anything, it's a benefit to them because they're not getting that fringe benefit of, what is it, $4,000 a year? So actually, they're losing money by taking home a vehicle.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to take off in a few moments, but I'd like to get an updated document call outs for 24. I would believe that the next time we meet is going to be in July, and we've hit the halfway point of the year. Is that possible?
Sure.
And also, I'd like to, do we have a, does the county have a labor attorney that does negotiation?
Mm-hmm. And can we see that, that latest contract?
Is that Wallace?
Too?
Yes.
That's yeah, that's Wallace. Yeah.
The CSEA contract?
Yeah. Absolutely. I want to see.
I'd like to at some point bring him in and get his opinion on what we just said.
Yeah.
Let's, yeah. And let's start with our own attorney. Let's.
And then one more thing, and I don't know if it's possible or not, but it seems like a lot of people that have been here a long time or, you know, senior positions, maybe like Deputy Commissioner Maneri, as it travels 10 miles to work, made two call-outs. Is it possible to, it's up to executive staff, to bring somebody similar to him and ask, you know, tell us why you need a vehicle. You know, we're not totally blind to the world out there. You know, tell, give us a good reason, you know, why you need a vehicle to go 10 miles back and forth for two call outs a year.
And what is the process for choosing? Because does he not really want to do call outs and then somebody like, you know, Mr. Kraft does want to do the call outs? Why, and does. Does Mr. Kraft make the decision on who goes on the call?
Yeah.
He makes the decision, and then he led the county. And I'll tell you right now, I've had a lot of county workers, some in DPW, some outside of DPW, look at that salary list and the amount of overtime and the what it took the salary to. There are some pretty jaded people out there. And when you hear that the person that's making well over $100,000 a year and leading the county in call-outs is the one making the decision on who goes out, there may be some other procedures that I'd like to hear about, because that does not seem fair or right.
But that would be outside of our.
And I believe that is the individual that decided to rip the stickers off the side of his truck because he didn't like having the stickers on his take-home. Is that true as well? That is true.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. So I think we have most of a lot of the information. Maybe we'll bring somebody in that was mentioned here recently to go over a little more, but I think we have a pretty good feel. Maybe the next meeting we can get, if we can get some information from the DA or the sheriff, we can do start them. Maybe we can do the DA, and I have a feeling that DPW is going to be where more of the concern is rather than the emergency services and whatnot. The sheriff is going to have some pretty good arguments when you start talking about SWAT team gear and things like that. It's kind of hard to tell somebody they're going to have, you know, all these weapons and vests and all these things that they have to go and run out to maybe an active shooter, even if it's just once a year or not. That's kind of hard to tell somebody. So that's stuff we're going to have to deal with.
No, you're good. I can't.
But no, we got five, two, three, four. We got four. No, we got five. Oh, Eric left.
Eric just.
You got four. You're good.
But do we have the numbers? Because we don't have the call out numbers yet for the emergency services side and the safety side, and that's all executive branch, right? Is there any way to get that updated?
There was a narrative two-page or one-page that was shared that had call-out numbers. We could see about trying to get them into the format of the spreadsheet.
Okay. I can write it.
Proof it for some of the typos that the comptroller was pointing out. And also add it for 6 months of the 2024 call-outs.
Okay. And let's ask, that'll be Eric, right? Would
Everett.
Be in a,
are you,
Everett.
Is this
Everett.
Yes,
Everett.
This one. Is this what you're talking about? Maybe that's too big.
Yeah, and those numbers, a lot of those numbers are pretty. Okay, so we can just, that's fine. You don't need to, I can do that myself. You got the numbers now.
Let's have them put in here, because this is going to be the working document.
Okay. We'll do that ourselves. We have them. We can do that, okay. Right?
That's who you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. If we can put those in here and send us this again.
Yep. There was another version of the spreadsheet that was shared with...
That did have that.
Data in it. So
I thought...
I don't even have a page, too, so don't worry.
So, as far... Go ahead, Herb.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I know we're just getting started on this, but it seems like, you know, we looked at buildings and grounds. There's only two. Both of those are question marks. We looked at lead mechanics and road mechanics and the senior tire changer. I think, you know, like, the next step for DPW is to have somebody who's a decision maker on their policy. It's our policy, but their interpretation of our policy. Section supervisor, road maintenance, and your bridge leaders is really the major portion of what's on this list for take-home vehicles. This two-page thing, I think, is a good start. I mean, the way I look at this, and it's not explained because they're not here to sit here and tell us, but it looks like, you know, your section supervisor is a take-home vehicle, and then your road maintenance leaders, which I was trying to make the analogy with the Department of Transportation. I don't know why they're bringing those home. Your bridge crew leaders, I don't know what emergencies do they respond to that.
I mean, wouldn't require a whole crew.
Well, it's the crew leader, and the crew has several vehicles, and I'm just talking about the pickup trucks that they have. You know, but it's tough to bring that to the table when the people that are making those decisions are not here.
We have requested Mr. Masterson several times. Do we think we could get somebody here to have a conversation about that?
Operations from that side, yes.
Logistics.
Do we want Masterson?
Even if it's
like Morse,
who's making
who
the decision?
I don't know.
Do
you want department leaders?
And as
I mentioned, field operations.
Wanted to have him here this evening, but he's out this week.
Okay.
Okay.
Because that would take care of
Morse.
A major portion of
field
this list.
I have a whole list of dates.
Yeah.
For July meeting.
For July, that we can try to pick like three of the dates, and then let the DA, the sheriff,
end of July.
How late in July are you not around?
19th to the 30th.
Okay. We have the 15th and the 18th, so, and the 9th. If 9, 15, and 18, if
18
you,
would be
I could
tough.
Do. Nine, okay. I can do 9 and 15.
Okay. So if the 9th or the 15th would be good for Lyle and anyone else over at DPW to come in, and we'll start the meeting by picking their brain on the logistics.
Is what, the 16th? Or the 23rd?
When is sessions?
16th. You have EDA on the 15th.
It would be following the EDA. It would be following the EDA.
Yeah, follow
so
the
that
EDA.
Might be. So
wow, that's one less trip. Oh,
so the
geez.
15th
yeah.
will definitely be one of the dates that we're going to choose, and that'll be the one that
okay.
we try to get Lyle here for.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know.
He's out on bereavement right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a couple of weeks away. If he's still out, then we'll just run with somebody else from DPW.
Can we make formal invitation?
Yeah.
Because the informal's not working.
Okay.
What does that mean? This should come from the chair. You should write a letter.
Well, let's give him a let's just formally invite him and see if he gets here.
It should come from you with a date on it through Jay. That's the best way to do it.
Mr. Morse?
Well, whoever the chair would
Amanda
like to have come
and
out.
I would send it to the department
to the
leader,
and
then he can make a decision who's most appropriate.
And so I don't want to bother him.
Yeah, no, we're not going to bother him right now, but we're talking about the 15th tentatively, but if he still can't make it, which is totally understandable, then somebody, there's got to be another person there that understands the logistics of what's going on over there, and maybe even Brendan Masterson. So that'll be one of the meetings, the 15th. Hopefully by then we'll have, I'll let the committee know how it's going with, I don't know if I got a call from the fleet manager of the sheriff's department who said he's working on getting some of this stuff to us. He says, he said a couple different things, but one of the things he said was they obviously can figure out their call outs and all that and give us a rundown. I've let them know on many occasions we are not interested in urgent or anything that has anything to do with, you know, it's basically just to take the regular take-home vehicles that we're looking for the numbers on. But the DA, Mr. Weishaupt, has kind of repeatedly emailed me with very little and kind of always ends it with, call me, you know, let's just talk or something, but I really don't operate that way, and I think it's basic data that we're looking for. So if I get the feeling that we're not going to get the information from either office, March, you can help. This document right here, is there anything on there that wouldn't be foilable?
I don't think so.
So
this spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So perhaps I'll just put a foil in tomorrow. And then within a couple of weeks, we should have it. So the 15th...
If they don't keep the records the way that you're asking for them, they won't be able to produce them under a foil. Like, it may make sense to call Mr. Whitehawks and say, okay,
I'll call him.
MAA, what was the date of the take-home approval? Like, he may be able to walk you through verbally where we could fill out a sheet. I know that sounds terrible, but he may not have a data set to send you. So then you're going to get an answer that the foil can't be answered, and it'll delay the committee's work.
Do we have any numbers from when at one point the Busick policy was being followed, in theory? I mean, do we have numbers pre-13, like, that we could fill out here? I mean, were they in violation while the policy was supposed to be being followed, before there was any reason not to after the charter? That would also go into the past practice argument as well, I think, in some way. But so I'll call Bill tomorrow. I have a feeling that's going to be the toughest numbers to get, but I hope I'm wrong. I think at some point the sheriff is going to give us the numbers, so I'll call Officer Wenzel again tomorrow too, and I'll get back to the people on the committee and let everybody know how it's looking, whether we think we're going to have this information. Now, should we go ahead and go through, I mean, if those numbers are accurate, there's no reason to think they're not, but from the emergency services side, I'd say more than half those vehicles were being used well over but we should probably go through them all. Let's invite, I want to call him
Everett.
Eric Erickson.
Everett.
Everett.
Let's invite Everett in on the 15th as well. And we'll either have Lyle or somebody else from DPW that is in on their procedures on call outs and logistics. And then we'll have Everett here to go over their take-homes. And then, now the safety department, is safety there too? Is safety on this list?
Everyone is actually out of the office on July 15th.
No.
Legislator Mullen.
Okay, what about
no.
The 9th?
He is in the office on the 9th.
He may have some other stuff going on, but if he's available the 9th, maybe we could try to do the 9th, even though it's just a hectic part of the month.
Or he may be able to have a deputy speak to the fleet, but I know he likes to be the one.
Does it have the safety officers on there as well?
Nope.
Safety is a separate department.
That is separate.
Sorry. Yeah, separate department.
Who's the department head?
Is the director.
So we don't have those. Can we just get those numbers on the three safety vehicles?
For Diane.
Building examiner, inspector, deputy safety officer, and the safety officer. And then we will have, and then that just leaves, we never got, so this doesn't have DSS on here? Those are the only take-home vehicles in DSS? And they're all investigators. There's no other take-home vehicle.
And they fall kind of under the DA's office.
Yep. There's a different standard because they're investigators. But do we have their numbers?
No.
Can we get those as well?
That would be the DA.
Yeah.
They fall under the...
Oh, the DA.
DA's office.
Okay. Are they in the...
They work for DSS, but they still fall under the DA.
It looks like the DA provided the initials and the make and model.
Yeah, that was
here, yeah.
That was big.
And it took what was loose and what was it?
Just the make, not the model.
Just the make. Year and make.
Year and make. Not even a model. That's... You know, you'd like to see the DA have a little more attention to detail, would you? So the 15th is good with everybody. Herb, we may have to do a later meeting.
Okay.
22, 25, 29, 30th, 31.
He's back on the 30th.
I'll be back.
Oh, you're back for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the 31st.
31st?
Yeah.
That should be okay, I think. Yeah. Wednesday.
And could we, so forget the 9th, we'll do the 15th and the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And could we have a deputy, Eric's, or Everett's deputy come in? Because I just don't.
He'll be here on the 31st. He's around the 31st if you want to do that. Or you want to stick to the 15th?
Okay, yeah, that'll give me time. I'll set the agenda and find out who's gonna be available. The only definite for the 15th right now is either Lyle or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to go over this, and maybe we'll jump into the policy a little more, some of the other parts of the policy that don't have to do with take home that meeting, and then we'll move into hopefully by the 31st having the DA and the sheriff and some of these other departments in. And then the only other thing is just so who appoints, are these appointed, these are non-union management, so they're appointments over the DSS investigator?
Those are, yeah, hired by the district attorney.
Oh, and he does hire them. That's what
he
I was asking.
Hire,
he's the
yeah.
appointer.
It's a joint between DSS and DA, because it's a family advocacy center. So I believe in the hiring process, there's a DA employee who's a part of the panel and also DSS.
And would the comptroller or the executive branch of government in any way have access to those call-out numbers? Whether through GPS or anything, no. There's no documentation that's given to anybody. Okay, so it's just another three positions for the DA's office to get me. Okay. Aaron, Herb, Laura, you got anything else?
Today?
All right. Adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.